She was asleep. That is the fact that every other fact in this case has to be understood through, and that every procedural development since the night of March 13, 2020 can never fully erase. Breonna Taylor was 26 years old, a licensed emergency medical technician working two jobs, and she was asleep in her apartment when the Louisville Metropolitan Police Department arrived to execute a search warrant. The search warrant was wrong, not wrong in the sense of bad outcomes, which is the language that sometimes surrounds these cases, when institutions want to soften responsibility into tragedy. Wrong in the sense of containing information that was not true. Wrong in the sense of citing an active drug investigation involving a man who was, at the moment the warrant was issued, already in custody. A fact the detective who prepared the warrant affidavit either did not check or chose not to include. This is the warrant. This is where the 6 years of legal proceedings that followed began, and where, in March of 2026, they ended. A judge agreed to dismiss the remaining federal charges against the officers involved in Breonna Taylor's death, following a request by the Department of Justice under the administration of Donald Trump. The charges are gone. The case is closed. The lie in the warrant is not investigated. The lie in the warrant has never been prosecuted to final accountability. The lie in the warrant, which is the foundation on which everything that happened to Breonna Taylor was built, remains, as of this writing, an unprosecuted crime. In 2020, the Louisville Metro Police Department, Vice Unit, was investigating alleged drug trafficking. The investigation centered on a man named Jamarcus Glover, who had been observed receiving packages at a post office. Investigators wanted to search several locations connected to Glover. Among those locations was the apartment at 3003 Springfield Drive, Louisville, the apartment where Breonna Taylor lived. Breonna Taylor was not the subject of the drug investigation. She had, investigators would later claim, a limited previous association with Glover. The warrant did not allege she was dealing drugs. The warrant alleged, in effect, that drug evidence might be present at her residence. The detective who prepared the warrant affidavit, Joshua Janes, included a claim that he had verified with a United States postal inspector that packages associated with the investigation were being sent to Taylor's address. That verification, according to a subsequent postal inspector investigation, never occurred. The postal inspector told investigators that he had in fact told Janes there was nothing suspicious about the packages going to Taylor's address. Janes used the postal verification as a factual basis for the warrant, while reversing its meaning. This is not interpretation. This is what the federal investigation, the Louisville Police Department's own review, and a subsequent civil lawsuit determined. The warrant was built on a false factual premise. The officers who arrived at Breonna Taylor's door on March 13, 2020, arrived there because of a lie. Jamarcus Glover was already in custody that night, a detail that was also not included in the warrant. At approximately 12:43 in the morning, officers knocked and announced, "There is contested testimony about whether Taylor and her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, heard the announcement." Walker testified they did not hear an announcement and believed they were being burglarized. He fired one shot from his legally registered handgun. Officers returned fire. Breonna Taylor was hit by 6 bullets. She died on the floor of her hallway. No drugs were found. No evidence relevant to the Glover investigation was found. The purpose for which the warrant was issued yielded nothing. The criminal accountability process that followed Breonna Taylor's death lasted 6 years and produced a result that her family, her advocates, and the prosecutors who brought the original charges would all, in their different ways, describe as incomplete. Kentucky's Attorney General declined to charge the officers with criminal homicide in September of 2020. The legal reasoning was that the officers had returned fire in response to a shot from inside the apartment and could not be convicted of homicide without the prosecution being able to disprove self-defense. One officer, Brett Hankison, was charged with wanton endangerment for firing shots that entered a neighboring apartment. He was acquitted in March of 2022. Federal charges were filed in the summer of 2022 under the Biden administration. Joshua Janes, who had prepared the false warrant affidavit, was charged with federal civil rights violations. Kelly Goodlett, another detective who had knowledge of the false statement, pleaded guilty in 2022 and cooperated with prosecutors. Kyle Meany, the supervisor who approved the warrant, was charged with civil rights violations. James's trial was scheduled and rescheduled multiple times. The specific federal charge involving the false affidavit was the most significant charge in the case. More significant, in a specific legal sense, than the shooting itself. The shooting could be defended under the doctrine of qualified immunity, under self-defense, under the legal framework that protects officers acting under the color of law. The false affidavit had no such protection. If James knowingly included false information in a warrant application to obtain a warrant, he could not have obtained lawfully. That was a crime, period. No qualified immunity, no returning fire, a crime. The mystery thread running through 6 years of proceedings was this. Would the false warrant ever be prosecuted to conviction? In the first months of Donald Trump's second administration, the Department of Justice began a review of federal civil rights cases inherited from the Biden administration. The review assessed active prosecutions for alignment with the new administration's priorities. Among the cases reviewed was the Breonna Taylor federal case. In March of 2026, the DOJ submitted a motion requesting that the charges be dropped. The motion did not argue that the charges were factually wrong. It did not argue that the evidence was insufficient. It argued, in the framework of prosecutorial discretion, that continuing the prosecution was not in the interests of justice, as the current administration understood them. A federal judge granted the motion. The charges are dismissed. Kelly Goodlett, who pleaded guilty and cooperated, faces sentencing in a case whose federal outcome is now unclear. Joshua James, who was never convicted of preparing the false warrant, is no longer facing trial. Kyle Meany, who approved the warrant that should never have existed, faces no further federal prosecution. The civil settlement that the city of Louisville paid Breonna Taylor's family in September of 2020, $12 million, remains the largest financial accountability in the case. It was paid without admission of wrongdoing. There are specific things worth understanding about what happened in that courtroom in March of 2026. Beyond the political framing, the dismissal of federal charges against law enforcement officers accused of using excessive force or preparing false warrants is not unprecedented. It has happened under administrations of both parties in specific cases where evidence was insufficient or where prosecutorial priorities shifted. The legal mechanism that permits a sitting administration to decline to prosecute cases it inherited from a previous administration is established law. What distinguishes the Breonna Taylor case is the specific nature of what is not going to be prosecuted. Joshua James did not shoot Breonna Taylor. The officers who did were not the target of the remaining federal charges. The remaining charges targeted the warrant. They targeted the document that put the police at Breonna Taylor's door in the first place. They targeted the lie that made the raid appear lawful, that allowed everyone who touched the chain of command to say they were acting under a valid warrant, when the validity of the warrant was constructed on a statement that did not reflect what the postal inspector had actually said. The dismissal means the lie in the warrant is no longer being prosecuted. It does not mean the lie did not happen. Kelly Goodlett's guilty plea, which remains part of the public record, establishes that at least one detective knew the warrant contained false information and did not correct it. Goodlett cooperated. She told investigators what she knew, that cooperation formed the basis for the charges against James. The charges based on that cooperation are now dismissed. Breonna Taylor was 26 years old. She worked as an EMT. She was certified to take care of people who were having the worst moments of their lives, who were hurt, who needed someone to arrive quickly and know what to do. She was asleep in her own apartment when the police arrived on a warrant built on a lie. In 6 years of legal proceedings, no one served a day in prison for her death. The financial settlement came without admission of wrongdoing. The state charges produced an acquittal on a reduced charge related to shots entering a neighboring apartment. The federal charges, the ones targeting the specific lie that made everything else possible, have been dropped at the request of a Department of Justice that concluded their continuation was not in the interests of justice. The question this case has always demanded of the institutions that handled it is not complicated. It is the same question every murder investigation requires. Whose death counts enough to pursue the people responsible for it until accountability is achieved? The case is closed. The question remains open.